As everybody comes in, A, thank you. B, a special thanks to Adam Klasfeld, who, as you will see, is the walking wounded, is joining us. Even like when I say there's a level of dedication that comes from Adam Klasfeld that cannot be appreciated until you have the Klasfeld experience. This is what I'm talking about. The guy just getting back from getting checked out. And he's here on a Substack Live. And to his credit, he's the one who brought this breaking news to my attention. And Adam and I said, let's jump on Substack Live. Let's get all of these folks caught up on this huge news. So first of all, Adam, I'm glad you're okay. Second of all, thanks for being so on top of things. Adam, we have entitled this breaking news on Kelmar Abrego-Garcia's case. Give us the latest.
The breaking news is that a federal judge has called for an evidentiary hearing to determine whether Kelmar Abrego-Garcia has been vindictively prosecuted. Now, even getting to that stage is extraordinary.
Huge.
I have never seen, you know, it's been 20 years on the legal beat covering a lot of cases. And
too young for 20 years, Adam.
But I've never seen a judge say that a criminal defendant has carried his or her burden to the point where they would call for an evidentiary hearing. And the evidence rattled out in this 16-page opinion is, you know, it's a unique set of facts. Folks, you know, we're at 700 people who are live with us right now. Folks have seen the way this case has panned out from the beginning of March, when Abrego was hustled out of the country in defiance of a court order. And the entire narration is part of this ruling as to the evidence of why the judge has ordered that he can pursue discovery into whether he's been vindictively prosecuted and entitled to an evidentiary hearing. This will come to hearings.
Let me stop you for one hot second before we get into the real meat of it. Let's get everybody caught up on the legal basis by which Kelmar Abrego-Garcia even got to this point, as cited in the judge's order, to prove this theory of actual vindictiveness. A defendant like Abrego-Garcia can get a dismissal through the presentation of, quote, objective evidence that a prosecutor acted in order to punish the defendant for standing on his legal rights. If the defendant presents evidence of a reasonable likelihood, and that's the legal standard, a reasonable likelihood of vindictiveness, then the district court must, not may, must allow discovery and an evidentiary hearing on that issue. So, Adam, what did Kelmar tee up for the judge's consideration to even get the evidentiary hearing and the discovery to get to that point?
So for Judge Crenshaw, I think the most convincing piece of evidence was they teed up a clip on Fox of Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche saying that we, in sum and substance, we needed to move forward with investigating this because a judge in Maryland questioned our decision to hustle him out of the country to a terrorism prison in El Salvador in defiance of a court order. More specifically, and this is a direct quote from the ruling here, that strikingly, the judge writes, during a television interview, Deputy Attorney General Blanche revealed that the government started investigating Abrego after, quote, a judge in Maryland questioned the government's decision, found it had no right to deport him, and accused the government of doing something wrong. So that goes to the heart of what the vindictive prosecution standard is. The vindictive prosecution is you are going after this criminal defendant because that person stood up for their rights. And there Todd Blanche is articulating that standard on Fox. It was something that just teed it up directly for the judge. And there were other recitations of the evidence. Christy Noem going out and trashing Kelmar Abrego-Garcia every chance that she gets over things that he is not even accused of. There's a litany of evidence, but that was the one that, if you're reading this ruling, that's the one that was most striking to the judge to get it to that stage. Also, the timeline, and we can go into that as well.
Yeah. So before we get into the timeline, what's delicious about this federal judge's order is a citation to a case that stands for the proposition that, quote, actual confession by the prosecutor is the clearest case of prosecutorial vindictiveness. So, Adam, we know that Noam, Blanche, Pamela, Joe, all of them can't miss a photo op, as I like to say. And clearly, when they speak, it comes to bite them back in the ass. For example, Judge Crenshaw says that to remove any doubt, Deputy Attorney General Blanche said that the criminal case was brought to return Abrego to the United States, not because of a judge, but instead because of an arrest warrant issued by a grand jury in the Middle District of Tennessee. This could be direct evidence of vindictiveness, right? I mean, there's a whole theory that's here. So you mentioned a timeline. So the judge in this case said that there's not only the factual timeline, but there are kind of three discrete kind of areas of time that the court is identifying that provides context for Abrego Garcia's request to not only do the discovery in this case, but to get his evidentiary hearing. And the judge focuses on November of 2022, which is when he was traffic stopped in Tennessee, and he was let go. And there was no referral, no criminal case, nothing happened. The second timeline was time frame was March of 2025, just a few months ago, when the United States removed Kilmer, quote, due to an admitted administrative error by the United States. And all of those, and she calls them the executive official defendants, made all those horrible statements about him, calling him a gang member, a violent criminal, and a terrorist with no factual evidence. And then the last time frame is April of 2025, that after the Supreme Court affirmed the injunction in favor of Mr. Abrego Garcia, suddenly Homeland Security decides to reopen an investigation into a 2022 traffic stop of Mr. Abrego Garcia. I mean, Adam, on its face, you don't have to be Clarence Darrow to see that this screams of vindictive prosecution of this poor man.
Right. I mean, this one of the big question marks over this case is what teeth does vindictive prosecution as a motion have? If this set of facts can't lead to an evidentiary hearing, what can? So I think today is very significant, not only for Kilmer Abrego Garcia, it's significant for James Comey. It is, it is significant for LaMonica McGyver in the District of New Jersey. Not that it has a precedential weight, but that other judges will see how judges are applying the vindictive prosecution standard in the age of Trump. Is this some theoretical idea that safeguards vindictive prosecution? Or when the government flagrantly and shamelessly goes on Fox or some other or on Twitter or on, you know, Trump's platform and says the essentially the legal basis to get this out the door, will the judge look the other way, or will this move forward? And this is a first sign that says the courts, yes, the vindictive prosecution is a prohibition that courts are willing to enforce. So it's
Adam, remind people, because poor Kilmer Abrego Garcia has multiple cases. So remind people as to which judge in which case this order is applying to.
So this is in the criminal case in the Middle District of Tennessee. This is Judge Waverly Crenshaw, who is presiding over the criminal trial. He's one of the judges who found that the government didn't meet its burden to detain Abrego. And so he has ruled that this is going to go forward. Now, this could have some resonance in a civil case that's going to a hearing on Monday before Judge Paula Zinis over in Maryland. Yes, because right now, Abrego, after being in criminal detention, released from criminal detention, was put in immigration detention. And the government is trying to deport him right now to Eswatini, which, trivia fact, is the last absolute monarchy in the African continent and has publicly stated that they had never heard anything directly from the U.S. government saying that they were going to send Abrego there. And anyone that the U.S. government sends there pursuant to their more than $1 million contract with the United States, is going to be repatriated to the home country. So here's where things stand in Maryland. Because the government is going, what Abrego's legal team is saying there in that habeas corpus case is the government does not have the legal right to send him to, if they send him to Eswatini, Eswatini will send him back to El Salvador, and that's what is known as a chain deportation. It would be trying to sidestep the very prohibition that the government is facing. So when the Trump government sent Abrego to El Salvador, they had violated a court order. They're arguing that this violates a court order, and therefore Abrego should be released from immigration detention because they don't have a real plan to send him out of the country right now. So they're fighting a battle on two fronts. One, they are trying to fight against this criminal case in Nashville, which, for all the muddying of the waters that Christy Noem and others are doing, he's charged with smuggling, not trafficking. They always say trafficking. The difference between that is the two-decade sentence that Ghislaine Maxwell has versus the average sentence for smuggling is about 1 year in the Middle District of Tennessee. So they are trying to fight against those smuggling charges or that result from that 2022 traffic stop, which, as you said, Katie, he was let out without even a speeding ticket. And it recently came to light in court papers that this was investigated by Homeland Security. That 2022 traffic stop, they found nothing. Despite a full 2022 investigation by Homeland Security itself. And we can talk about the weaknesses of the case that have emerged in the pretrial proceedings already. But what this is basically coming down to is a significant legal victory in the criminal case. And we'll see on Monday where things stand in the civil case, where the request that's on the table right now is whether he can be released from immigration detention as well.
Yeah, so let's unpack that for people, because admittedly, it's a lot of moving parts, right? So if everybody will recall, Kilmer Abrego-Garcia kind of was a juggernaut coming into the top of the public discourse after he was illegally sent to CECOT, that horrific torture prison in El Salvador, in violation of an immigration order. Now, remember, Abrego-Garcia went through the immigration system. A judge, at the conclusion of a hearing, determined that he, because he would face the risk of harm, violence, death, and persecution if he got sent back to El Salvador, that he wasn't supposed to be sent back to El Salvador. We find out that what? A DOJ lawyer says it was an accident, an administrative error to have Kilmer Abrego-Garcia sent to CECOT. What's happened to that lawyer, Adam, at DOJ who made that confession to the court?
He was sacked. He was fired. Anytime the Trump administration, when they have a lawyer who tells the truth that reflects badly on their agenda in federal court, when they fulfill their obligation to have candor with the court, they lose their jobs. So that's what happened to that particular former DOJ lawyer turned whistleblower against Emil Bovey, who. He's the same former DOJ attorney, Erez Ruveni, who had said that Emil Bovey had called that meeting where he instructed his prosecutors that they might have to start saying "fuck you" to the courts. That's a direct quote. That was what came out right before the Senate Republicans confirmed Mr. Bovey as a Third Circuit lifetime appointee of the Court of Appeals.
So that DOJ lawyer gets sacked, as Adam just summarized. And as a result of that illegal removal of Kilmer Abrego-Garcia, y'all will remember there was a habeas case that was begun in Maryland, and that is who Judge Paula Zenas is, that Adam's been referring to. And that is the case that led to the Supreme Court of the United States issuing a 9-0 ruling describing what would constitute notice, due process, opportunity to be heard in that situation, right? Okay. So what happens, as Adam just also explained a couple of minutes ago, Kilmer Arbega-Garcia is rotting in that prison in El Salvador, despite everybody's protestations and attempts to get him back. And then suddenly, after the Supreme Court says, can't do this, Trump administration, you didn't give him notice and opportunity to be heard, you violated his due process, they suddenly find this investigation has to be reopened, and they suddenly find this indictment to charge him with, quote, trafficking, as Adam explained, from that 2022 traffic stop that was occurring years ago and nothing came to fruition. And that kind of sets the table, if you will, for this challenge. So that's the reason why we're seeing parallel cases, folks. The Maryland, quote, civil case. And then we also have the criminal case. Now, here's the interesting thing. Judge Crenshaw, Adam covered this excellently, as he always does. Judge Crenshaw, despite the government saying you must keep Arbega-Garcia in federal detention while his criminal case is pending, Judge Crenshaw, independently upon motion by the lawyers for Arbega-Garcia, found that Mr. Arbega-Garcia, despite the government claiming he's a member of Tren de Aragua and is some horrible gang person, this federal judge says, nope, I don't find him to be a danger to the community. I'm going to let him out of custody while he's pending his criminal case to go to trial. But then the DOJ did what, Adam? What did the DOJ do to try to get him back into custody?
Well, it was a kind of combination. It's what they claimed not to have the power to do, because what happened is after Kilmer Arbega-Garcia won two court rulings, one from a magistrate judge and one from a district judge, saying, no, he's not an MS-13 member. No, he's not a danger to the community or a risk of flight. In fact, the government wants him out of the country, so he's definitely not a risk of flight. After he won that, the DOJ said, well, we can't help it if the Department of Homeland Security tries to deport him. And so after one weekend of a brief reunion with his family in Maryland, he has to check in to an ICE facility in Baltimore, where he is immediately put into detention, first in Virginia, currently in Pennsylvania, near Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. No one knows why he was moved there. He is under a court order that he cannot be a certain distance from the court in Maryland. So he's still within that distance, but he's moved away without explanation. And what happened there, Katie, there is this remarkable thing where they, right before he was released from criminal custody, the government extends him a plea offer, says, if you plead guilty to these charges, we'll let you go to Costa Rica, which is a human rights respecting country that has guaranteed we won't send you back to El Salvador where you face persecution. If you basically stand on your right, if you go and take what you have earned, your right to pretrial release, then we'll send you to Uganda. So there was this rock and hard place. There was this coercion that was happening, but Kilmer Arbega-Garcia's choice was to be released.
He
went back to his family for that weekend, checked in, surrendered to the ICE facility in Baltimore, and he has been in immigration custody since that time. The government has dropped its ambition to send him to Uganda. Now it is aiming for Eswatini, the last absolute monarchy on the African continent.
You know, folks, as you guys hear this recitation of the facts, I want to emphasize Adam is telling you the facts. This is not spin. These are facts. It seems so obvious on the face of these facts that Kilmer Arbega-Garcia is being vindictively prosecuted. But there has to be a system, and he has to work his way through the system to be able to achieve an end result. There are thousands upon thousands of people that have been stolen, kidnapped off of U.S. soil and taken to places we can't even account. Look, we've got almost 1,200 people from Alligator Alcatraz that we can't account for right now. I understand Kilmer Arbrega-Garcia is one of so many, but this is important for us because he's creating more legal headway for these fights to be had in these courts. And he, and you'll also remember too, Adam, and to our viewers, that the United States government sued the entire federal bench in Maryland because of an administrative standing order that was entered by the chief judge that pretty much said, if you get one of these types of cases, the Trump DOJ can't try to end run people's due process. So you cannot just summarily have these people sent away. So the Trump administration sues the entire freaking federal bench in Maryland, which includes Judge Paula Zenas. And what happened to that, Adam, when they tried to do that?
It gets thrown out. And it's funny, I've always said when it came to that lawsuit, I remember when, you know, I was cutting my teeth as a reporter in a federal court, and you'd sometimes come across some crazy pro se filings where people, you know, sue everyone under the sun and all the judges and all of, you know, it read like that sort of complaint. So everyone knew it was going to, that it was going to crash and burn, this particular federal lawsuit against the entire district.
But who the hell sues all of the freaking judges? And the crazy thing was like, hey, judge, you need to decide about me suing you. It was just kind of crazy and wackadoo. I mean, eventually all those judges recused themselves, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, it ends up getting kicked out. So, Adam, the conclusion of this order is the following. For now, the court will grant Abrego's request for discovery, which I love. We all love discovery, right, people? And an evidentiary hearing. The parties must meet and confer on the proper narrow scope of discovery. So, people, before we get super, super excited, it's still great news, but it's going to be narrow discovery. Consistent with this memorandum opinion, as the parties work together to define the parameters, the court believes that a letter that was sent by Abrego to the government is a good place to start. And this order, it says an appropriate order will enter. I mean, Adam, talk about, though, what this discovery could look like, even in a narrowed sense.
So we know that the most compelling piece of evidence, it appeared, from this ruling involved Todd Blanche. So I'm going to be very interested to see how much they can look into Todd Blanche's role in this. And remember, I said a little bit earlier, there's another pending vindictive prosecution motion filed by Congresswoman LaMonica McGivern in New Jersey. And in her motion, she notes that now, remember, her prosecution resulted from the visit that she and the Newark mayor, Ross Baraka, and other congressional representatives paid to an immigration detention center called Delaney Hall. In what that she gleaned during discovery, she gleaned a body cam video showing someone saying, per the order of the deputy attorney general, so we can
Todd Blanche.
Exactly. So we could have two cases where vindictive prosecutions tied directly to Trump's former lawyer, who's the number two in the Justice Department, and discovery and evidentiary hearings could be ordered. So that's what's happening.
And I bet you if you got discovery in that James Comey indictment, I bet you $1 million. Todd Blanche's fingerprints are all over that Lindsey Halligan shit. I bet you $1 million.
Right. I mean, this is a, you know, the judge ordered an evidentiary hearing and discovery. And I know that for a lot of folks who are watching this, that might seem incremental, but it's huge. This means that a criminal defendant can look into the origins of their case to see if the government has specifically and vindictively targeted them. And it could go to some of the highest officials at the DOJ. This is an extraordinarily rare ruling, and that it is not isolated. There could be, this could be the beginning of multiple rulings like it, because there are other pending motions of this nature, and certainly more coming. You mentioned Jim Comey. He's going to court for his arraignment late next week. We will see how his lawyers pursue you know, choose to litigate this, but I would not be in the least bit surprised if they pursue a vindictive prosecution motion. I mean, how could they not on this set of facts? Everything we know about pushing out of Eric Siebert, the installing of Lindsay Halligan, and the existence of the memo where career prosecutors said there's not a case here. That's a case that's crying out for a motion like this. So I think that, yes, this is a very significant event in the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, but I think it's just the beginning.
You know, for those of you that had just tuned in, all 2,500 plus of you, thank you for being here. But I want to thank Adam Klassfeld, who truly is tip of spear when it comes to breaking news on all things legal. As you see, I call him the walking wounded. Guy's in a sling, but he wanted you all to have the latest breaking news, which is the following. A federal judge in Kilmer Abrego Garcia's criminal case in Tennessee has found that he has met the legal burden to get discovery, as Adam just discussed, as well as an evidentiary hearing concerning his vindictive prosecution by the Trump administration's DOJ, led by Pamela Joe, with specific citations in the federal order to Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, one of Trump's law lackeys, and I don't call him former personal counsel, if y'all know me, he's still the personal lawyer, just like Pamela Joe, Emil Bovey, Lindsay Halligan, and others. Adam, you rest up. For those of you that missed this, this will be posted on Adam and mine's Substack profiles. There's a ticker that's going by. Make sure that you subscribe to Adam Klassfeld. He really is all things wonderful when it comes to not only the law, but even some politics as well. Adam, my friend, I'm grateful for you as always. Thanks for this.
Thank you. Grateful for you too, Katie.
All righty, folks. Have a good weekend. We're ending it. We're ending the week with some good news. Find some peace, people, over the weekend. I'll see you guys later.